I'm from Arizona. I call myself a Hick Indian from Arizona because I never really left. Baltimore was not in my field of vision ever, except I had a friend who was a rather famous artist who lived here. And I'm an artist as well. So that was our common ground, our connection. His name was Morgan Munso. He painted Black history, and this was a good place for him to gather a lot of that. I got a call in Phoenix. I was working in my daughter's garage with canvases all over the wall and climbing ladders. And my daughter called me and she said, "Mom, Morgan needs to talk to you." And I answered and he said, "Judy, can you come to Baltimore?" He said, "I have a lot of trouble." He said, "I'm sick, that's why. But the big thing is I'm being inducted into the Smithsonian," it's hard to say that sometimes, "into the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery." Four of his portraits were now part of the Smithsonian, and he was an inductee. And he said, "And I'm really sick, so I need help getting this together so I can go." And I said, "Okay, basically, sure, I'll come to Baltimore." So I packed up my old Grand Caravan, threw all my paints and canvases in that I was working on for my own show, and drove to Baltimore. Now, when you live in an area, because I was living with my daughter's family, when you live in an area that is almost, well, I would guess I'd call it kind of upper middle class, and I'm not used to that. I came from the desert, literally. And I didn't even know the people around me, really. I never met any of them. So I just lost that. Pardon me, I'm 80. I'll be 81 in a month. And I have a few memory issues. I haven't lost my mind yet, but I'm close. Anyhow, I packed up all my stuff and drove to Baltimore. Actually, I borrowed the money from my brother to get to Baltimore. And when I got here, you hear things about Baltimore when you don't live here. You don't hear them so much anymore, but back then we heard them more. And I was a little nervous about coming. And my friend lived in Sandtown, so that's where I was coming to, Sandtown. I didn't know it then. But when I came into Baltimore and I came down Pennsylvania Avenue and I made that turn on Mosier, I knew he lived about four houses down just from the addresses. I started getting a little nervous, really, because on this side there was one of the row homes with trees growing out of the window from the inside. There was a row home next to it that wasn't quite touching, but looked like it was about to fall down. There was a dilapidated house on the very corner there at Fulton. So, because he lived on Mosier between Fulton and Carrollton. So any of you who know that area of Baltimore, you know, it was coming undone. So I was nervous, but I pulled up and parked in front of the house, 1022 West Mosier, and got out and walked into this incredible house. And he was talking to me about what he needed. Well, I was tired. We unloaded all my stuff, and then I moved into the third story. I called myself the Indian in the attic because it didn't have a cupboard. So I know it's bad. It's very bad. I'm old. Give me a break. Anyhow, I had all my stuff out of the car, up in the attic, and I had come back downstairs, and I don't remember why. But I looked out the window, and my car was gone. So my first experience in Baltimore was my old Grand Caravan was stolen. And then when I talked to the police officer, I learned that Grand Caravans are the most stolen car in the United States. I didn't know that until I got to Baltimore. So education immediately. That was my first night. The very next day, I found out why Negrum, really, because I call him Negrum, because that's Morgan backwards. He never went forward right. I found out why he really needed me here. He was having a huge dinner, a formal dinner party for 22 people. He had hired a chef who got stuck somewhere in the rest of the world and wasn't going to be able to cook the dinner for these people. And it was part of the celebration for his induction. I said, okie dokie, that's what you want me to do, cook, huh? Okay, I can do that. Here's the rule. One, I choose the menu. Two, I buy all the food so that I know I'm getting what I need. And three, tell me where a store is. Because I had no idea. And so he explained to me I would have to catch the underground. The what? We don't have undergrounds in Phoenix. We don't have one in Arizona, I don't think. Where am I going to find this underground? And so he kind of gave me directions, and I left. And this is the thing that is most important, I think, about my story, was my experience just going to shop for this dinner in an area that I was already nervous about being in. So I left the house, and I walked over to Fulton, and then I headed up Fulton, and there was a man with the most beautiful cart I ever saw. It was a horse-drawn cart parked on the sidewalk. And he had fruits and vegetables for sale. Well, I learned that he is called an A-wrapper. I hope I said that right. I thought, well, hey, you know, I can buy fresh fruits and vegetables from this man, and then maybe he can tell me how to find the underground. So I stopped, and we just talked. And he talked to me like I was an old friend. So I bought fruits and vegetables. He took the bag from me, and he said, Mrs., you still have to go to the store, right? And I said, yes, and I need to know how to get to the underground. He said, up a block, there's a store there. There are stairs that go down. That puts you on the underground, and you can go up to Reisterstown and north, and there's Von Dahmen Mall. So cool. And there, he said, there's a store, and it's called Shoppers. I'll take care of your groceries till you come back. So I thanked him, and I started to walk away. He said, wait, Mrs. He said, I think you're going to be there about an hour, maybe? You shouldn't be there much longer than that. And I said, I hope not. And he said, good, because I'm going to watch for you to come back. And if you're not back to see me in the time I think you should be, I'm sending a friend to go and make sure you're okay. He didn't know me. He'd never seen me before. And he offered to watch out for me. So that was number one. Number two, I got on the underground. It was full of people. There wasn't a place to sit. And a teenage young man got up and gave me his seat. Nobody in my, at that time, 65 or 60 years had ever stood up and given me a seat on a bus. So that right there, I was really thrown, and I was thinking, nobody would ever do that anywhere else. The third thing was I did my shopping. I was loaded for bear, coming back with bags everywhere. I walked past my friend, the Araber, and his picture is still on the wall, as a matter of fact. One of the muralists, it was the only stables in Baltimore. That was his horses. And that was his card. And his portrait is on a whole wall there. Anyhow, I got back to him. And he said, "You're fine, you're okay." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, now you have your bags here." And I had bags hanging everywhere. And I said, "Okay." So we managed to get it on me. And I turned around and I'm going back to Nagram's. And as I turned the corner off of Fulton onto Mosier, there were a group of five young men standing out on the stoop. And they were smoking, and I could smell the pot. And Nagram was terrified of that house. He said, "Stay away from there. Don't go there. They're all addicts. That's a drug house. Stay away." So I'm seeing these five young men out there, you know, getting high, and I'm carrying bags, and I'm an old lady. And I figured, okay, I'm going. So I went. All of a sudden, all five of these kids came off that stairs and started walking toward me. Well, yeah, my heart was pounding a little bit, but they didn't look aggressive or anything. I mean, they were just walking toward me. They came up and said, "Mrs., let us help you. You're loaded down here." They took all my bags. They walked me to my stoop so I could go into the house. They followed me into the house and helped me put all my groceries away. Those young men became my friends for a very long, well, all the time I lived there. Because every time I cooked, I made sure they ate. But where else would you find young people who do that, who just in mass come and help you? Now, I got in trouble with Morgan because I had him come into the kitchen. I said, "Well, they're coming into the kitchen again if I'm cooking." So that's why, what, 15, nearly 16 years later, I still love Baltimore. I'm still here because, you know, I live in, where do we live, Jay? We live right off of Liberty Heights and Garrison. And our neighbors, I know them all. Oh, the other thing about the stoop, that was, I had four things. I tried to remember by numbers. The weekend after our big to-do, I came out, it was a Saturday morning, and I came out and I sit on the stoop because it was fun to do and I could watch people go by. And all the way down Mosier Street and around the corner, there were barbecues coming out and kids playing in the street and the dogs going, and it was this huge, like, block party. And they all got me and had me come be a part of it. And I wasn't a stranger to them. So that's another thing about the people of Baltimore. They care about each other. And in a little neighborhood like that, I got to know my neighbors. I never knew the name of one single person in my neighborhood in Phoenix that wasn't related to me. So that's why I love Baltimore. Thank you.